At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome. We are live. This is Fightful SmackDown post show. I, of course, am not Kate. I am Phil Lindsay. Of course, I'm joined by Alex. And so there are some familiar faces here. What's going on, bro?
Phil, you could have fooled me, bro. You almost have the bangs going there just like Kate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel like I am almost a regular. I've done like three of these now.
Yeah. Friday nights are where you belong.
I guess so. as always, appreciate you guys coming through. We got a pretty strong episode of SmackDown to go over, I think. Feel free to shoot your super chats in, your humper chats, to get into what I felt like was an eventful episode and kind of a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I honestly thought that, I know we spoke about this beforehand, the way they set it up was pretty damn good. There wasn't a lot of like backstage segments that made it seem like you knew what was going to happen at the end of the show. Obviously, we had Jimmy Uso kind of talking in the middle there with Cody, and we'll get to that later. But I thought the way that they kind of like bookend it was perfect. Like,
yeah,
there wasn't too much. There wasn't like overwhelming amount of bloodline only. You know, I thought it was just good. And like I told you before, I honestly thought, you know, Jay was going to show up today, the way they kind of were talking and everything.
Yeah. For me, I think SmackDown is usually my preferred watch for the week because it's concise. I think that they've hit the right balance lately of storytelling and in-ring stuff. I did enjoy Raw this week when it was 2 hours, but I just think it's just that hump of getting past 3 hours, and SmackDown is easy breezy watching for most of the part. And this episode was more of that.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, like Kate and I have already spoken about this, and I'm pretty sure you'll agree. Like, I hope they don't tack on that extra hour to the freaking SmackDown show. A Friday night with a third hour?
Please,
I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
Nah, 3 hours on a Friday sounds crazy. I have no interest in that. But, you know, of course, if you watch everything, like a lot of us content creators end up doing, you end up watching Rampage anyway. But I just think it's something about watching 3 hours of WWE programming. Sometimes it just can feel like a lot, because at least if you're switching to the channel to Rampage, at least mixes it up a little bit. But
agreed. Yeah.
I don't know, man. 3 hours of SmackDown, I have no interest in that.
No, nah, man. I mean, yes, we get to see some more of our favorites get a lot more time, you know, like maybe I'll get to see a little bit more of my, you know, Latinos up in on screen, and hopefully, and we'll get to that too. I have a lot of ranting to do about that later on today, but yeah.
Yeah, there was definitely some interesting choices with representation on this show. There are a lot of people that were not happy with certain things on Twitter, but yeah, let's get into it. We started right away with the Jimmy Uso return and his promo to start the show. I thought this was a very strong segment. Jimmy came out and that crowd was very happy to see him. Got an incredible pop at the pay-per-view on Saturday, and he got a good reaction here. I thought him coming out and continuing the storyline with Solo and saying he's here for revenge against his little brother, and then also building up to Roman coming out. And then Roman, of course, came out. Big pop for Roman, of course. Massive superstar. But I thought their chemistry together in this segment was very good. I thought, like, all the continuity stuff that they played off here was great. The point in this where Roman gives it up to Jimmy, and Jimmy does the hand out like he's waiting for the mic, and he gets the high five, and Roman says, acknowledge him. I think that this was something that they needed to do to differentiate heel Roman and babyface Roman, because I've seen a lot of people say, well, what is really the difference in his character? And you saw a lot of it in this promo where he showed a lot of love to Jimmy, and it wasn't so much him just being this leader that is just like fall in line, and he was actually, you know, giving him his flowers and giving his credit here.
Yeah, and I think that when you have a Roman that's going to be a babyface right now, you gotta, like, he has to show a little bit of compassion, a little bit of that difference in his, you know, he could still be mean, man. He could still mean mug you to death. But I think that if he's able to give you, when he's talking, the compassion and the love that now he's giving Jimmy, that'll separate him from what he used to be. And I loved it. I thought that was a really good exchange with him and Jimmy there.
Yeah, I thought it was a great distinction that Jimmy made the point of, you didn't ask for my help, I came because you needed my help. Because, of course, Roman in this character is too prideful to just ask the guys for help, which we see later in this segment. But I love that Jimmy was kind of like, no, I saw that you needed help. And also, I had unfinished business with Solo, too, so I just showed up. I thought that was a good storytelling point. But also, Roman doing his entire promo saying, you know, we're still the ones. When I come here, you know, we were at top, and every time we show up in these arenas, I want to let you know the GOATs are here. We're the ones. And Jimmy immediately corrects him and goes, but we're not the ones anymore. And he's like, look around. And I love that he dropped the line from the Cody prophecy from almost 2 years ago at this point, where you're a tribal chief without a tribe. And, you know, we're not the ones. We need help. And Roman is still, you know, very stubbornly going, no, we don't need help. I'm still the guy. And so I thought the way that they played up the JTs was very, very good. Queuing it up with Jimmy saying, we need help. And then that led to the crowd starting to yeet chant. And Roman looks around and goes, no yeet. And that cliffhanger at the end of the segment where Jimmy goes, listen, man, you're still my tribal chief. I'm going to acknowledge you no matter what. But at this point, I'm the only one. And I thought that was a great way to kind of have Roman look in the mirror and build up stuff for Survivor Series. Because I got to imagine at this point, the War Games match is going to be OG Bloodline, probably with Cody Rhodes against the new Bloodline.
Yeah, you know, It's very refreshing to see WWE do this with their characters, where they're acknowledging, no pun intended, the things that are happening around them. A lot of the time, WWE characters are kind of booked to kind of like overlook things and not really talk about what's happening, kind of just like be one track minded, right? The fact that they mention, like, dude, like, we need help. There's no one here. Like, what do we do? Those things are new. Like, those are slow things that have been added to the production and the quality of these characters. And I really enjoyed not having it all just happen in the ring. I like him walking away. I like him being like, we need him. We need him. You know, it's different. It's good. And you kind of see Roman now has become, for whatever reason, whether he's getting acting classes or not, he's become so good at giving you facial expressions and his body language. Like, do we really, like, do I need him? Like, God, like, you know, he's left there puzzled, and I loved it. I don't know, for some reason, this version of the Bloodline to me is a little better, because see, they always talk about the chase, right? The chase, like, you always want the chase, and I think that's why I'm enjoying it, because they're chasing something. They're chasing the to become the Bloodline again, right? The original ones all over again. So it's really cool to kind of see what they're doing here.
I don't think that the Bloodline was bad for a lot of last year, but I do think it got to a period where it got a bit stale and it needed a refresh. And yes. I think this current stuff with them trying to rebuild and having a new storyline with Roman not on top and not being champion was needed.
Yeah, I think
it's added so much to the dynamic. There are a lot of people that are wondering, where does this go when Roman drops the title? And so far, the answer is we still got a lot of storytelling you can do between the stuff with Solo and the stuff building up to the reunion. I think all of it has been executed very well. There's a reason why a lot of people are big time Bloodline stands on Twitter, because just this version of storytelling that WWE has done with this group is just a step above everything else they're doing. And it just shows when it's good, it's very good. Sometimes when it's not for me, it's not for me. But when it's good, it's really clicking.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you.
But yeah, I thought this was a great way to start the show. I thought this was a great way to advance the stuff from the pay-per-view, The Rock showing up, which didn't really get mentioned here. I thought that was very interesting. But I have to imagine, with everything going on, The Rock cannot be very happy with Roman aligning himself with a guy that he's enemies with, especially against his family. I don't think that he's happy about that at all. And I think the other very interesting wrinkle they added to this with the Jay stuff is Roman's kind of looking around like, we don't need him. But Jay have every reason to be like, I don't need y'all. I'm successful right now. I'm a champion. You guys are down bad. I'm not.
You know what? Honestly, that might be the route that they come out and play. Like, you're talking about a dude who's on Raw. Why does he need to involve himself in the things that are happening on SmackDown? He has his own show. He's defending his title. He has his own problems with Bron Breakker. Like, why would he have to deal with more Bloodline stuff? He separated himself so much from that for him to be sucked back in, it has to be special. It has to be something meaningful. So I think you're right. He might just pop off and be like, I don't need this. And then you see that chase of them like, listen, like, Roman might have said, we don't need you. But then you have that one-on-one with him and Roman, right?
Yeah.
And then you have that initial, like, whatever it's going to be, whether it's a handshake or another hug, bro, the people are going to freaking lose it.
Buddy. Just judging by that pop that they got when Emmy and Roman embraced at the pay-per-view, when the original members finally get together in a ring, buddy, that thing is going to hit like cracking 80s. Yo. It is definitely going to pop huge up. And that's exciting, because I think that since the switch from the traditional Survivor Series matches to the War Games match, they've done a really good job of doing the story-driven matches at Survivor Series. And man, they've got such a great storyline with the Bloodline going into this. So I'm excited to see how it turns out.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I am so ready to take in whatever they're going to be giving us for Survivor Series. And it means something. Survivor Series, so this match, like, okay, last year we had, what, the Bloodline feud added, like, with what was that, the year before? I don't remember. I'm so confused with all these Bloodline storylines sometimes. But it'll be fun to see the two factions really face off.
Bloodline was the heel team the first year. Last year wasn't Bloodline, it was
who was it last year, man? I can't remember.
Dun, dun, dun. My memory is bad. And I was at the show. It was here in Chicago.
Oh, Phil, man.
It was the baby faces against
Who was it?
Blank. It was Judgment Day. That's right, because Judgment Day were the big heel faction on Raw. And so it was all the baby faces against
Judgment. That's Jessica. Right, yes.
That's right, because now I remember everything. But yeah. But yeah, let's get into some of these. We don't have any super chats for this segment yet, which I'm surprised, because I thought that this was going to be one of the most talked about segments from the show. But after this, we got the WWE United States Championship match. Carmelo Hayes taking on LA Knight. I thought that this was strong. I think Carmelo has benefited a lot from them building up the United States Championship picture. I was kind of surprised by the abrupt outcome to this match, but I thought the match itself was very good.
I enjoy watching Carmelo in the ring. He is, you know, for the few times that I got to see him at NXT, because I watch NXT like on and off. Like, you know, I'm not a avid NXT viewer. So when I was watching him, man, I thought to myself, this dude's going to go to the main roster and kill it. Like, he's just, he can talk, he can wrestle, he looks good. He just, his aura is defined by, like, just him standing there. He doesn't even need to do anything, bro. He just looks like $1 million, right? So for him to, like, have these outstanding matches with everyone, like LA Knight, who is hot as hell, he benefits from that, you know? And even with Andrade, it's like they're putting on clinics for everyone, you know?
Yeah. With some of the representation talk that was dominating the timeline for the past week, whenever people were saying there aren't any black male wrestlers on the pay-per-view, people kept bringing up Carmelo. And I think it's unfortunate because Carmelo has been the highlight of SmackDown. His matches with Andrade have been so good. They have been a big selling point for the show. But I just want to see some of that culminate in something on the pay-per-view. So I hope all of this stuff with the United States Championship is leading to something. Maybe it's a triple threat match. I have to assume maybe that's the match for Survivor Series or even Crown Jewel. But at this point, Melo has been so good on SmackDown, he deserves a spot.
I agree. I don't want to see him pigeonholed, or the old way of people saying it, boxed in just to the, you know, mid-card title. And he kind of just floats around where he kind of like maybe shows up in the title picture and then just goes right back down to the title, to the mid-card. I want to see him be elevated. I want, if they're going to use him this much in the U.S. title scene, then I want it to be to elevate him. Like, because he's it. Like, he has that, you know?
Yeah, I think he's been really great as a heel in this mid-card title picture. I thought this match was great. Me and LA Knight had some great spots. I thought that BFT counter he did into the axe kick, man, so good. I thought there were a lot of back and forth that they did throughout the match that was smooth. But LA Knight won this match clean. I assumed all this time, because Andrade was sitting ringside, that Andrade was going to do something to distract Carmelo, and that was going to cause him to lose. But he lost clean here. And afterwards, he rolled out to the ring and he was sitting along the announce table. And Andrade repeated the line to him, man, put the fries in the bag. And the way he said it with the accent and everything was hilarious. I thought that was a great touch here. And then we find out later, we're going to get the seventh match finally out of this best of seven series, which I am definitely looking forward to. Because again, man, Carmelo and Andrade have been smoking it on SmackDown.
Yeah, talk about like putting on great matches. I mean, they caught lightning in a bottle with those two. I mean, and it's cool because you can cool it off after this. You don't have to see them see each other. They can pass each other and kind of give each other dirty looks and kind of like, you know, wink and a nod. And then, you know, you can revisit it a couple months from now because they're good. It's not something you know. I wouldn't use those two all the time against each other so that you don't lose that magic, but they got it, man.
Yeah. I have to assume this is leading to something, though. I'm guessing it's going to be a triple threat match for the United States Championship. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen.
Yes. Yes. I agree with you.
But yeah, another strong match from Carmelo. Had a solid one last week as well. With AJ Styles, which we got a bit of an update on AJ. It seems like it's a ligament sprain in his foot. I was very much confused last week watching it because I was like, all right, is this a work? What's going on? They were playing it like it was a work, but now it seems like it's a legitimate injury. So well wishes to AJ. Hopefully he gets well soon and he gets to come back, because it sounds like they were working this into like some farewell tour angle.
Yeah, from what was reported, I think that he wanted to kind of make this his last hoorah. Which sucks, man. Like, he just came back from you know, whatever was happening before. They kind of didn't use him on TV, you know. I don't know. It sucks. It's part of getting older, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe. SRS is saying in our chat that he is not buying this injury. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it because they very much were playing it like it was a work last week. But then they're also telling us that it's legit. But you also got to look at where we're getting the information of the fact that it's legit.
It's pro wrestling, bro. It's pro wrestling.
I don't know. I hope that it's not a real injury. I hope maybe this is playing into something with him getting his last hurrah. I think it's very cool that we're going into 2025 and potentially having a farewell tour for AJ and John Cena at the same time. And there's so much you can do with that.
What a like whirlwind. I was telling a couple of friends of mine, I'm like, it's crazy. I'm finally getting to the point where I'm feeling old. Because like I'm seeing all these dudes that I've been watching wrestle for plus 20 years, they are kind of just now disappearing. Well, I mean, obviously you will see, like John Cena said, he'll be around, you know, and other wrestlers have been around. You look like it's, you know, Stings and all these legend contracts that you know that they have now in place for wrestlers. It's cool to kind of still have them in the mix, but seeing them in the ring and having that pop for them all the time every week is crazy. That's going to be like, okay.
Yeah, John Cena retiring is very interesting to me. It feels a lot like Kobe retiring because it kind of felt like this one of those things where it felt like it would never happen. And for a lot of us, this was a guy that a lot of us made a thing of hating this guy for so long. Him going away, it just kind of feels weird of like, man, we finally got to give this guy flowers, I guess, because he did have a great career.
Bro, and he did it all without ever turning heel after he turned face, which is correct. I mean, when was the last time you saw a character do that in pro wrestling? You don't. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, very curious to see what they do with John Cena when he comes back. But let's get into some of these... Super chats. Did mention as well that Sean again is not buying this, so could be a work, could not be a work. I don't know. Speaking of, Just Ricardo says he is at work. Love you all. Sup Phil. Sup Alex and the chat.
Sup, love you too, man. Be good. Don't get in trouble. Don't get fired because of us.
appreciate you, Ricardo. We got one from Margie. She says, Hello. Mello or Andrade for game 7. I see the pros for either. That's interesting. I kind of think that Andrade is going to win based off of what we saw tonight. It kind of feels like Andrade is going to come out on top here.
I don't know, man. I think that you probably are going to be correct about maybe they go to a time limit draw. I don't know. Like WWE doesn't do that, but I'd be surprised. And then we see a three-way, like you mentioned before. I'm following you on that three-way. If I were to choose out of the both of them, I'd probably choose Melo. I think Andrade is more established. I don't think Andrade doesn't need the victory, and Andrade doesn't need the title because Andrade's going to have a ton of other matches that are going to be pretty crazy. So,
yeah, I agree. I just think usually when we see these best of 7 series, the babyface usually ends up coming out on top. And that's why I kind of feel like Andrade's going to end up winning, especially with how Melo won the last match. It kind of feels like Andrade is going to get that definitive win on him in the 7th match.
Interesting. I mean, you might change my mind. I don't know. We'll wait till the end of the show.
I mean, I could go either way. I think Andrade could benefit a lot from it, but I also think Melo could benefit from it as well.
Sure. I think also Melo has lost more matches since coming up to the main roster. I think there was a point there where I was complaining about it. So.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the tough part about it, because he did lose tonight and he lost clean here to LA Knight. But I think that's going to set up his motivation to interfere in the title match that comes after this. And that's going to be some of the lead in to the triple threat match.
Yeah.
Again, send in your super chats and your humper chats. Let us know who you think is going to win a game 7 of this. We started what looked like was going to be a historic tag match for women's tag titles. Beforehand, Kevin Owens showed up out of nowhere and he grabbed the microphone and started going on about, I'm not supposed to be here. And can you believe this? Like, I'm being punished. Like, I'm the one that's wrong here. Like, I turned on Cody Rhodes. I didn't turn on Cody Rhodes. He turned on me first. And I thought that this was great. I wish that they didn't put it here. I wish that they placed it somewhere else on the show. But I think the way that they've played this, from having the fan footage come out of KO attacking Cody at the pay-per-view, I thought that that was genius. And I think playing it this way of Kevin Owens is suspended, he's not supposed to be here, I thought all of that was great. And then even the way that Randy came out and interfered and he ended up hitting Kevin Owens because Kevin Owens hit him on accident. I thought all of this was played very well. It was executed very well. Again, I wish they didn't throw it in the middle of this women's segment because it was so distracting.
Yeah. First of all, the entrance was pretty dope. I love the split color.
Yeah,
coming out, that was pretty free. That got me good. I was like, because I was not paying attention, and then when I look back at the TV, I'm like, is this a package that they're playing for the women? Like, I thought it was, you know, because they do overlays, and I was like, oh no, this is dope. And then I see KO running into the ring, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. If you don't watch NXT, the metaphor. They do like this homage to the opening to Teen Titans where the colors come down and then they're standing there. And I thought that this looked really cool. And I thought that was a great way to bring them in with the interest on the main roster.
Man, cool. Thank you for letting me know. I got to start watching more NXT. It's just, I watched like 400 hours of wrestling.
Yeah, I can't say that I'm like an expert on NXT. I don't watch it as regularly as I probably would like to, but that's definitely something they do with metaphor. And I thought, again, like you said, this was a good entrance, but bringing Kevin Owens in immediately here, while I like where the storyline is going with Kevin Owens and some of the stuff they've done with it, I just think it did the women a disservice because they didn't really play up the importance of this match, because this is the first time that two black tag teams have wrestled for the women's tag titles. And they didn't really play up like why this is a historic moment or the importance of it. And then it immediately kind of got downplayed with the Kevin Owens stuff. And I felt like by the end of it, more people were talking about Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes than the actual match and everything itself.
Yeah, that's true, man. I know. I didn't even think about that. He did kind of take the shine away from it a little bit there.
Unfortunately. But once the match started itself, I thought that the women looked good. I thought that Lash and Jakara wrestled pretty well. They had some good tandem offense together. But then the match was very, very short. It was under 5 minutes, it seemed. And again, if you're gonna play up something like this and give these women this kind of big moment, I thought that they could have gave them some more time. And now, I do understand with the four women you're using in there, just using a sample size and introducing them to these two women from NXT and giving them some exposure was great. But this felt very Divas era-esque to me, where during the Divas era, you would see stuff like this all the time where the men would come running in and have like this moment, and then the women would have the short match and then they would just completely move on. And
man, I would like for next week for the guys to be in the ring and have one of the girls come out and just kind of be like, I need you to shut up right now and get out of my ring. Like, I want something like that, dude, like hardcore, like get out of my ring right now. I got something to say. We don't see that. We don't see that. We see the men do that all the time.
Yeah, it was frustrating because I do think that this was a step in the right direction in a lot of ways, because I've been wanting to see Bianca and Jay defend those belts more, and we are getting that. They had the defense here, and they're going to have a defense next week on Raw. I think they did the women a bit of a disservice here.
They did. I was watching the vignettes, and I was watching a little bit of the of them talking backstage, and they have like the same aura and attitude and like finesse as Bianca and Jay do. I would like them to maybe change it up a little bit, because they kind of seem like the same team. I don't know whether they were like face or heel, or like how they were gonna, you know, come into the ring, like what was their, you know, actual like thought process on wanting to like take the tag titles, or why they want to go after Bianca and Jade, right? Like, it, to me, they kind of sound a little bit like the two teams sound alike for some reason.
I think that that's one of those things where they didn't do enough here to really even tell the story and bridge that gap from NXT, because they introduced this on NXT. So if you don't watch NXT, you don't know anything about Metaphor. You don't know anything about why they're challenging for the titles. It's kind of a cool title defense that they threw in here, but I just think they could have done more with the overall presentation for the match, and they just could have gave them more time.
Yes, I agree. I think that was the missing link for me. Like you just mentioned, again, it's all going to go back to NXT. It's a big key for a lot of people that watch it, that they'll understand why certain people are moving up and who they were, right? For me, because that puzzle piece is missing. I would say that I would be one of those viewers that needs a little bit of that backstory, you know? And I think that's what was missing for me, because when I was watching their interview, I was just like, I'm like, man, they kind of like are have the same gimmick as Bianca and Jade. They're like, you know, two tough women who beat the living crap out of you. I'm down with it. I love that stuff. So that's why I was just like, all right, let's see where they go with this. And then KO jumped in the ring, and I was like, oh, well, okay, then there goes that.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those, you know, two steps forward, three steps backwards things where there were benefits to this. I love that Jakara and Lash got some exposure here. I do like that they gave these four women this opportunity, but I just wish they would have done more with it. It just feels like this could have been more than what we got, and they hyped it up so much, and I think that that led to people being justified in their disappointment with it.
Agreed. I'm there with you.
I'm sure we got some super chats and some humper chats on this, and I'm sure there might not be the best thing to say about it. Probably a divisive decision. See, we got from Eat Normus here. Hold on. Probably should have had both screens up. Juggling. Meet Normus, he says, if y'all were a tag team, your finisher would be the clavicle lock. The only meat business I have this week is the Chicken Big Mac review shortly. I don't know anything about that. So I've seen the clip of Kai Cenat eating the Chicken Big Mac on his stream. But other than that, I have no idea what this is.
I have to try it. I'm a big fan of the Big Mac. I gotta, you know, I'm 40 now, so I don't eat fast food like that. If I eat it, it has to be like a special occasion, or I'm just like on the run and I definitely just need like protein. So, you know, so like a Big Mac works, right? Because you get the patties out of there and you just eat them, you know? But other than that, it's like this Chicken Big Mac. I might have to go tomorrow and just kind of maybe say, hey, give me 3,600 calories ASAP.
See where they dropped the ball. And the reason I don't know this is a thing is they should have took notes from Burger King, and they should have had the controversy of Mary J. Blige come out and sing about it, and then people would know about this.
I don't know if you remember this commercial. Yes. Yes.
Oh, man. Very controversial commercial of having Mary J. Blige sing about chicken. People were not happy about that.
Oh, God. I remember that. Oh, my God. TMZ covered that. Everyone was covering that. It's from 2012.
Well, is it that far away?
Yeah, it was from 2012, the Mary J. Blige unaired Burger King commercial. Okay, okay. Oh my
What's it a crispy God. Chicken wrap? That's the version if you have not seen it. It is Mary J. Blige singing about a chicken wrap. Jay Stone remembers. Crispy chicken, some lettuce. Oh man, what a time.
Oh, I want to see the person who, first of all, how the F did that even make it as far as it did? Okay, I'm gonna tell you right now, because that has to go through levels and levels and levels of marketing teams. It's not one person who says, "Oh yeah, this sounds good. Let me put it in. Hey, Mary J, we gonna do this?" No, this was like tested by people and said, "Yeah, that looks great. Let's find a great singer that doesn't mind singing about this."
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe McDonald's, man. Maybe I would know about this chicken Big Mac if you had a little controversy around it. Wrapped Friday up in a
Friday night
crispy chicken. We're off the rails, but let's get back into some super chat. What a time.
I've been up since 3 a.m., y'all. I had to take an early flight to Jersey, and I like feeling loopy. And just bringing that back, probably have to download that song now.
No, I definitely think we're going to spark people searching this on YouTube now.
Oh, that's great. If you do, please tag us on the YouTube. No, don't tag us. I heard this from Phil and Alex on Fightful.
See, from Bad Robot 2342, he says, "Hello, best post show. I'm with Phil. Why have that at that point in the show? Triple H needs to book the women better. Talk to HBK. That said, would you want an Iron Women's match, EO/Bianca, for me?" I think that could be dope. It's interesting because I think SmackDown has had the better women's segments of the two main shows for the past few weeks, probably longer. I think that they've made a better use of the women, and we even saw that later with Liv. It was so refreshing to see Liv do something different other than the same thing we see her do on Raw week after week. So I think SmackDown is a step in the right direction. They have been doing things that I enjoy. That's why it's a bit surprising that they did not give the women the time here. I mean, they gave the women the time last week with this great dumpster match. They've done so many great things with Mia Yim. So I was hoping that we were going to get more here with this tag match, and we just didn't get it.
Yeah, no, I mean, run it back and give them the time to deserve, you know? And yeah. To the question about Iron Woman's match, we did have an Iron Woman's match not too long ago, did we not? I feel like Natty was the one that was involved. I could be 100% wrong on that, but I don't know. Like, Natty always seems to me like the type of person who would last in the ring for a long-ass time and just, like, outwork someone with her wrestling skills, you know. I think that would be awesome to watch.
Yeah, I would love to see EO and Bianca in Iron Women's match. So I think those two would have a great match together. EO's been phenomenal on Raw, man. I wish that there was more for her to do, but unfortunately, the title picture has really been dominated by this Liv and Rhea stuff. Which, you know, if you're invested, I could see why, but I'm just kind of ready to move on.
100%.
Yeah, I'm just ready for both of them to do something different. And we got a little bit of that later in the show.
Yeah, you know what? You was dope, man, in Black and Gold NXT. Yeah, I mean, that's when I used to watch. And then it turned into Nickelodeon. NXT, and that's when I never watched again.
I mean, it's gotten a bit better. I still don't think it's the NXT that you or I are used to, but I think it's shown improvements in a lot of ways. If nothing else, I feel like the matches are good. Some of the segments in between the matches are still not for me, but overall I think it's better than it was.
Sure. I mean, hey, they got HBK. I mean, who would ever thought that you'd have D-Generation X literally running the company after spraying DX on the Titan Towers, on the McMahon jet, on all the limos? they literally took over.
Click runs this business, I guess.
But Click runs the business.
McCoy Stalin says, can we stop interrupting the women's matches? Two women of color, it's not a good look, especially with Triple H's recent press conference performance. Yeah, I think that that adds to this. Some of the conversation around the pay-per-views and there not being any single black males wrestlers on those shows. And then to get that response from Triple H, which was definitely a choice. to get that response and then to get the hype for this match, and this is what we ended up getting.
Listen, they're using people correctly, right? On the shows, right? You have there's shows that are just incredible. Look at Carmelo, look at Andrade. You know, they're doing really good things. Bianca and Jay, you know, like there's a lot of cool things happening, but the marquee matches, I think that's where we kind of sometimes they get lost in the sauce. And by they, I mean like management on how to put things together. And I also understand that things got to make sense. But at the same time, bro, you're freaking writing these make-believe stories. Make it make sense then, you know? And this goes for all of wrestling. This is not a WWE attack. This is like... Yeah, you know, absolutely. this is entertainment worldwide. I have the same problem. I work in entertainment and I fight every single week to try to get my people, my Latinos representation in certain rooms, in certain boardrooms, in podcasting, in film, in television. Like that's my advocacy. That's what I do every week. It sucks, but you know.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Every company can be doing better in some ways with representation.
Sure.
Nobody gets it 100% right.
Nobody. Yep.
I just think that, especially with the conversation that's happening online, and to have that question at your press conference and the way that he answered was not very comforting at all.
Is not the PR friendly answer, by the way. That was the worst answer you could ever give.
That was not a good answer to that question. And then to come out and on the following SmackDown and have people, you know, legitimately interested in this, and this is what they got. Probably not the best response. see, from Margie Love, she says, did the interruption cost their match time? I'm not sure. I hope that that's not the case, but that would really make me dislike the placement of that even more, because, boy, if that's why this match was so short, that's not good.
Yeah.
Let's see, more from Margie Love. She says, especially when Big Rome is still talking for 10 minutes to walk in. Yeah, absolutely. That opening segment went very long, and to think, you know, now, given it was a good segment, but to continue to give the Bloodline so much time on these shows, and you can't give the women, yeah, let's say, like a little bit under 10 minutes or so for this tag match.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Especially now you're on cable, you know, like you can, you're not constrained to network television commercials and network television time restraints. You know, you don't have to end 2 minutes early or anything like that. Like those are 2 minutes that could very well be put into something much more useful.
Yeah. I was disappointed, but I mean, what we did see of the women, I thought that it was solid. I just wanted more of it. That's all.
Sure. Yep.
But we do have a big pay-per-view coming up this weekend.
That
leads us to, you know, if you're looking for other options, NordVPN might be the way to go.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
We do have some more super chats on the tag match. Got a very generous one from Tim McFall. He says, bringing in the big arm from the bullpen with Phil. SmackDown was mixed for me. Bloodline and Mello. LA were good. Naomi winning was awesome. KO, Cody, Orton was good. But F you. F you, Mr. I don't see color. Stop cutting the ladies and Black Stars time. Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot to like about the SmackDown, that aspect of it, which I was hoping would be good for those four women, I wasn't the biggest fan of.
And SmackDown's been good for quite a while.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I think SmackDown for me has always been the A show. I mean, ever since like the UPN days, I've always liked SmackDown more. But yeah.
See, we got another one from Juju. Says Triple H getting criticized about how he doesn't utilize his POC talent to the fullest capacity last weekend. The then cutting time for four Black women is a transgression. Mind you, three white women interrupted it. Yeah, there was a lot about this that just felt very much like a Divas era segment. And we saw some of that on Raw as well, where let's throw 10 women into one segment. And it was the same here where, all right, let's throw all of these women, all of the women's stuff into one segment. Let's add Piper to this. Let's add this to this. Now, I do think there are good things about it because you're setting up Piper and Chelsea to potentially get a tag match at some point. Great. I just think there was a bit too much going on, especially when you add the Kevin Owens stuff in with it. That was a bit distracting. And it was kind of the same way later on with the other segment we got with the women, where it was just like, all right, we could have focused this a little bit instead of making it a catch-all women segment.
Yeah, I don't know what, I mean, listen, I don't know jack poop about starting, putting together television wrestling shows on how to book them, right? And like who makes the decisions on what, but we live in a world where your employees are online all the time because you see them. And mm-hmm. I'm sure they're reading, and you're getting tagged left and right. So you can't, it's not like you can't just shut it down and not look at it. So I don't know. I mean, we're still waiting for that second woman's evolution. So pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That never happened. So I don't know. I don't know. It's just crazy.
Yeah. I think we're overdue for Evolution too. I think there's, they have a big roster. There's so many things that they could potentially do with that.
Those women are pretty much all out of the business and retired now or working somewhere else.
Yeah. It's very surprising. They haven't done another one since then, but
I know
that was what, 2018.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. Yeah. Right before, that was when the company was still kind of struggling.
Yeah. This was like, during, I feel like, the height of the women's evolution, because you had the first women's rumble that year coming into it. You had a lot of stuff with Becky really rising to prominence as the man. You had Ronda Rousey. So that was a real strong year for them in women's wrestling.
And 6 years ago this month.
Yeah, that's, wow. I did not realize that it was that long ago. See, I think we have some more super chats on this topic. Very hot topic, this tag title match.
It's the evening, huh? Wow.
Not what I expected. I thought we were going to get more about the
Bloodline.
The Bloodline.
But can I tell you something, Phil? That goes to show you, as much as we love this business that we talk about here, and we have our group chats and we talk about it with our friends, there's a level of people just getting tired, right? There's, yeah. How much more Bloodline can we get? Other than if you look at a show like today on SmackDown, as good as it was, you still had three or four matches and then a lot of, you know, recaps and commercials. So yeah. But the main blunt of the show was the Bloodline. And we've been seeing this for 4 years now. So people maybe are just getting a little exhausted or whatever, but I mean, look at our chat.
Yeah.
It goes to show you.
Yeah, I think people are still into the Bloodline stuff, but I think that I think that people were very much interested in what they were going to do. And again, this is supposed to be a historic matchup of the first time you're having two black teams challenging for these belts. And I just think that they could have done more here. I just think that they dropped the ball a bit.
Yeah.
See, we got a Humper chat from I think this is Flams Inc. My bad if I'm screwing this up. But he said, this Chelsea Green stinks gimmick reminds me of the Natty Farts or Rikishi doesn't wipe gimmick. It was stupid then. It's stupid now. How childish do you have to be to find it funny? How on earth does Papa H let this one continue past bad blood for fuck's sake? Yeah, again, this is why there was a lot about this that felt like the Divas era. And this, it was the same kind of humor, like he said, as the Natty Fart stuff. And don't get me wrong, I think coming out of the dumpster match, the stuff with Chelsea was funny, but I thought that this was going to be a thing where it lasted for maybe a week or so and then we're going to move on. But continuing it into bad blood and then to keep it going this week, I don't really need that.
I think she's a phenomenal talent. She's really great. I think that whatever they give her, she nails all the time. But I wasn't looking at it that way until you brought it up. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Chelsea's fantastic. I think she's been great in everything they've given her to do. What a trooper. What a hustler, man. She's been, man, everything. You need her to go through two tables, she's going to do that. You need her to have this big dumpster match with Mia Yim, she's going to do that. You need her to just come in and do some comedy spots, she excels at that too. She's been fantastic. And I don't feel like this is anything where they're just like throwing this on her and she's like, I don't know, guys. I think she's that much of a trooper that she's taking this like, oh, I'm going to make this work for me, because she always does. And I do think there's good humor to it, but like a lot of things, sometimes it's okay to let it be short and sweet and not try to run it into the ground.
100%. I'm with you.
Yeah. Speaking of the women, we got more with the women. We got the Nia Jax and Naomi promo up next. I thought that Nia Jax came out of the pay-per-view again, looking strong, looking dominant. And I thought this segment was great. Her coming out and, you know, basically laying down the groundwork of, hey, I'm just going to go into Saudi Arabia. I'm going to continue to be dominant. I am going to be the first crown jewels women's champion. And then I think Nia is fantastic because she's so good at being intimidating and imposing, but she's also very intentionally and unintentionally funny. When she put Tiffany in that headlock and goes, and then it's Tiffy time because you are going to cash in on Liv Morgan, right? I thought that was great. I thought it was very funny. And I also thought it continued to advance the storyline between her and Tiffany.
You know, Nia has been booked so much better since coming back. Long gone are the days of my a-hole, when she was complaining about her
my a-hole.
Yeah, my hole. So just menacing, pounding. I love her. I really enjoy what she's doing now. Scary, the way she like is pushing around Tiffany, but you know Tiffany just is one short breath away of taking you out, you know, with that briefcase. And I think she's the wrestlers are not booked stupid now. They understand what's happening around them at all times, right? So it's fun to kind of see Nia be like, always have her eye on her one way or another.
Yeah, I think Nia has improved a lot. I think she stepped up her game, both as a character and an in-ring worker since she's been back. She seems a lot more motivated. And she's been great. I think she's had a phenomenal year. It's probably the best year of her career, in my opinion.
Yes, 100% agreed.
And she was great here. I think Tiffany played her role as really well as well. I think the stuff with Nia continuing to try to manipulate Tiffany, and Tiffany continue to give these little teases of, well, wait a minute, why do I have to do that? I can beat you. I think when we do get the cash in, this is going to end up playing out really well. One of the criticisms we got for a long time is that we don't get really good long-term storytelling with the briefcase for the women. They've been doing a lot of same-day cash-ins. And so this has been great. They've been building up anticipation. So when Tiffany does finally cash in, it's going to be a huge moment.
Yeah, I am. It's going to be, I use the word a lot, nuclear excitement from the crowd. And however they decide to do it or whenever, if they happen to do it, even as the year's ending and having that first shot of Tiffany holding up that title for the brand new, you know, season or brand new year of SmackDown, like what a way to start a year for you as the champion and just kind of just go from there, you know.
The interesting thing about this segment too is I've been thinking this since they announced this Crown Jewel Championship. I don't know if I buy into the matchup of Liv and Nia. It feels like something's going to change before then, because they tried to play that up on Raw that maybe it's not going to be Gunther at the pay-per-view. Maybe it's going to be Sammy, because Sammy had the title match on Raw. And I could see them changing something here, because going into Crown Jewel, you have a heel versus heel match. And then you also have this the size disparity of Liv versus Nia. Not to say that can't be a good match, but it just kind of feels like something could change by then. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
It's also Crown Jewel, right? So it's kind of like for me as a fan, I call it a throwaway show. Like you can resurrect everyone from the past. You can put Macho Man in it, Andre the Giant. It's just a show. I'm going to just leave it at that. I don't want to get into it, in the back end. But to me, it's just a show. They have these people come in. They're doing these. So if you're having a heel versus heel, to me, because it's more of an exhibition show.
Yeah.
Not like a main roster show, like a Bad Blood or friggin' WrestleMania, whatever. I know they try to play it up to be that of that importance. I don't like it when you call these shows out there bigger than WrestleMania, which they've done before. Yeah, I mean, they've literally said it. So, like, to me, it's like, cool. Let them have these matches, whether it's heel versus heel, and let's get it over with. Let's get back to it. We got Survivor Series next week, you know?
Yeah. It basically is a glorified house show. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of things don't really change on this show. A lot of stuff is not kind of canon here, but there's something about it that leads me to believe that one of these champions might not end up still champion by Crown Jewel. There was enough here to get me to think that, especially when Naomi comes out. I thought Naomi was great here, and I think she's needed something like this for a while, where I think that she has been... She's been good since she came back to WWE from TNA. And the Big Three stuff has been good, but I've been wanting to see her really stand out as a singles wrestler. And tonight I thought she was great. I thought her coming down and confronting Nia and saying straight out, like, let me get this straight to you. I don't need anybody's help to beat you. I thought that was a very great interaction. The way she got up in her face, I was like, just do the match. And so after this, we get a match. They send a ref down. They set up the match. Liv comes out around the time that the ref is coming out as well. And Liv is, starting the promotion for the pay-per-view coming up. And, of course, Raquel and her whole entourage with Dom is with her. And again, like I said earlier, this was a bit refreshing to see Liv do something different than just come out and do the same stuff with Rhea over and over again. It just made me think more like, all right, I'm kind of ready for Rhea and Liv to go their separate ways and for both of them to get some new opponents.
I'm 100% with you on that. Like, there's so certain things that just sometimes get a little exhausting.
Yeah. But I thought all of the setup for this quick exhibition match, which we found out, because at first when they were doing the segment, I said, okay, we'll give Naomi a title match, and it's not a title match. It was just
an exhibition. This is another match I kind of just like, I was like deep into it. I'm like, all right, this is going to be great. And then, oh, I got to go get some water. And I come back around. She wins the match. And I'm like, for some reason, I'm like, did she just win the belt?
Yeah, because they didn't clarify that until the match started, that this is not a title match. I believe Cole said that right before the match started. And I thought
match what was, I probably missed, yeah.
Yeah, I thought this match was strong. I thought that the way that Naomi worked the match was great. She didn't, you know, go out of her way to do a bunch of power stuff. And, you know, it didn't look like she was, you know, overpowering Nia at any point. She was using a lot of her ingenuity, you know, working the legs and doing a lot of, you know, smart stuff to get the better of Nia and, you know, use her speed and her athleticism. I thought that was very smart. But I was also surprised by the end of this match because, again, Naomi had this great fiery response of her saying, I don't need anybody's help to beat you. And then she got help to beat her.
You got help, yeah. Whether you wanted it or not, you got it.
But I thought the match itself was good. I thought bringing the Liv stuff in here was good. Naomi picked up the win with the help of Liv and Raquel here. Roll up finish. But I enjoyed this. I enjoyed what we got. We also got Rhea coming out towards the end to jump Raquel as revenge from what happened at Bad Blood. And then that led to a bunch of the women again in kind of a catch-all segment, which pros and cons to it, but I enjoyed this for what it was. I hope that this leads to Naomi getting a legitimate title match because I think she's been deserving. And I wouldn't be mad if Naomi was the one to dethrone Nia.
Yeah, I mean, you brought her back. She's, you know, she's a proven former champion. Like, I think that she plays the role of, she plays up to whatever role she needs to. So if she needs to beat Nia, she's agile, she's quick, she's strong, right? If she has to face Liv, she pushes back a little bit. So she lets Liv, because of the smaller character that she is, she lets Liv get more, she would get pounced a little bit more by Liv because she's smart, right? Like her character is so versatile in the ring. And I've seen that when she faces, whether it's a smaller opponent or someone like Nia, she can turn it up really quick, man. She's someone that I really love seeing in the ring all the time. So, I mean, good victory tonight. It's good to see her in the win column, and, you know, let's see where they keep on going, because I'm confused about how her relationship with Bianca and Jade is still kind of like, I don't know, you know, it's so gray to me.
Yeah, I think that they have to do more with her because, you know, at least the other two, they have the tag titles. They have something going, and they're clearly building something with Bayley and Naomi's relationship. I have to assume that's going to factor into the War Games match that they're setting up. But I just want Naomi to get that singles title match. It felt like she should have gotten, I don't know why they didn't just do it at Bad Blood. I felt like they were going to do it there, and then they didn't. So, man, just give Naomi the title match. I assume that's going to be a television match coming up before Survivor Series. And again, I wouldn't be mad if Naomi picked up the win.
Sure. Yeah, I'm with you.
See, after that, we got more with Carmelo Hayes and Nick Aldis in the backstage segment. Carmelo confronts Aldis, and Aldis gives him the update that we are going to get the seventh match coming up. And then he gets confronted by Legado del Fantasma. Escobar tells him what's going on. It seems like the same two people are circling around the title picture. Why am I not getting a title shot? And Aldis comes back at him and says, well, you did. You fell short. And he goes, well, wait a minute. I'm not just talking about me. Why doesn't Elektra get a title shot? Why doesn't the Garza get a title shot? And I was sitting around like, he's right. Why don't you give them title shots? Why aren't they doing more? Like, why does it seem like the same few people are booked the same way every week? Do some more with these wrestlers as well. And he gives a tease toward the end. He goes, well, I got a tag team for you guys to face next week. Don't worry about it. And Escobar kind of looks around like, great, you know, great doing business with you, and walks away. And Aldis looks at the TV kind of like, you sure? Which leads me to believe that their opponents next week could be Motor City Machine Guns.
I'm so sad that we don't get to see the Gala Fantasma used enough like they used to. I thought at some point they were getting really hot and something fun was going to happen with them. Just turned out to be a dud. And they're going to be used once again to be staring up at the lights next week.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. Even if this is not a tease for Motor City Machine Guns, it does seem like this is setting them up to face a tag team who is probably out of their league and is going to beat them. I hate that that's the case because Garza and Humberto, or well, Berto now, they're so talented and they're so good as a tag team. I just wish they would do more with them.
Yeah, I'm sad that, you know, I say this every week. If you guys have been following me on here and you guys know me on online, I like my hot takes. And I also like, you know, when I get, you know, into my representation of certain things, this is one big one. I'm a huge fan of Santos and the group. And it's just for some reason, at the beginning of the year, I was like, yeah, here we go. They're heating up. Let's do something. And then that was it.
Yeah, I wish they would do more with them as a group because they're very talented, the four of them. I mean, I almost want to say at least that's a good spot for them getting to work Motor City Machine Guns potentially next week, and that's going to get them a spot on TV, but it's probably going to end up being a squash match.
You think? Yeah. I'll give you that idea.
Yeah, just... kind of seems like that's where we're going. Speaking of which, we got Motor City Machine Guns vignette again. They're doing those segments that kind of look like a car commercial. The first time I saw this, I was very confused. I thought that it had gone to commercial break, and then when it hit the coming soon, I was like, oh, this is still SmackDown. It kind of looks like that old Mazda commercial. So I was like,
yes.
Oh, this is not a car commercial. Okay.
Zoom, zoom. Zoom, zoom.
We've got our main event to get into and another segment before that. But before I get there, gonna hit you guys with a word from our sponsors. Be sure to get in your last super chats and humper chats. We're gonna wind this thing down.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. Betonline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
As always, please bet responsibly. But if you're looking for somewhere for your sports betting needs, including pro wrestling, BetOnline.ag is the place to go. You can bet on upcoming pay-per-view for this weekend, WrestleDream. I mean, some of these, like Jack Perry, of course, big favorite going into this match. Brian May is a big favorite going into her match against Willow Nightingale. Not much of a surprise there. The Young Bucks are a surprise, are a overall favorite going into the AEW World Tag Team title match. But I do think that there's a great chance that Private Party can win that match. I think that that would be a great bet for somebody to pick Private Party. They also have Will Bryan retire as one of the options to bet for. I think there's a very good chance that he could. I do think he's going to lose to Moxley, but if you are interested in getting your betting needs in, betonline.ag is the place to go. See, we got. Oh, before I hit that, got a super chat from Enormous. He says, here's another small sack of monies for Team Clavicle Lock. May y'all have a better run than Los Lotharios. I like it when y'all mix teams up. No vegans.
No vegans.
Appreciate you, Meat Normus. For the main event, we got the DIY and Pride and the Pride complaining to Aldis. I did not see this part. So I'm hoping you did to fill in the blanks because I apparently missed this segment. I did not see this at all.
Dude, it was just, it was a poop show. Backstage, it kind of, I thought I was watching Raw for a second because Raw is usually the one that has all this crazy nonsense going on backstage. Yeah, everyone was arguing within each other. You had DIY there just screaming. I don't know what they were screaming at each other because you couldn't hear it. You know, the Nick Aldis is trying to make sense of it all. He's trying to freaking bring peace into what, you know, what was happening, and then obviously what we all saw as he had to rush out and see KO beating the living crap out of Orton outside by the TV truck. KO's out of control, man. I don't know. He reminds me of like Eddie Kingston in AEW.
Yeah.
He just like, he's real. He's very aware of what's going on around him, and he's very much into his feelings.
Yeah.
So like, if he feels like you wronged him, then everyone that is attached to that person that wronged him is dead to him, which is what you see here when he beats the crap out of, by the way, that whole thing with the Pride and DIY never got resolved. They just stayed there arguing amongst each other as he walked off screen and went to go see what was wrong with Randy. And I know KO was yelling at him, like, you know, you're with him, you know, you're like, he's screaming at him about Cody. And it's just cool to kind of see KO once again, heel, beating the crap out of people backstage.
Yeah. Because I did not see this segment, but Louis says at one point Ciampa shouted Motor City, which popped me, but you could barely hear it with all the hooting and hollering. That's really funny. I'm now upset that I missed that because that sounds hilarious.
Oh man, I missed that too. I didn't know he yelled that. I was not paying attention.
But I guess I had walked out of the room, and so when I walked back in the room, I saw the Kevin Owens and Randy Orton stuff, but I somehow missed everything that led to it. And I think, again, the Kevin Owens stuff is great. I think continuing to play this stuff up with Randy Orton, I think it's smart. Randy continuing to try to play nice. And, of course, we know where this is probably going to end. Randy Orton is probably going to turn heel. But I do think it's interesting, and I pointed this out for an article I wrote about what is CM Punk's next upcoming feud. I do think it's interesting that everybody that, well, not everybody, a good amount of the people that we know that he has a history with are starting to turn heel. They started to tease Seth Rollins potentially turning heel on this week's episode of Raw. Of course, he has history with The Miz. He's turning heel. Kevin Owens, currently turning heel. Bryan Breakker, still heel. It seems like they're setting up a lot of heels from this guy. And that leads me to believe there's a good chance that CM Punk could be champion by the end of this year, because it seems like they're setting up heels and going into 2025. Really? Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but I don't think that that's a coincidence.
I don't want to see him champion. I kind of want to see him be more of a mentor to everyone.
Yeah, I just, because you know? We've been watching wrestling long enough to see how these things go. And usually when someone's treated like one of the main characters on the show, he's super popular. He's proven to be like a ratings draw. We know where this tends to go. And it's Punk and some of the history around him as World Heavyweight Championship. I was just saying in 2009, that was one of the big things that shot him up to the rise of prominence, is him being a two-time Money in the Bank winner, World Heavyweight Champion, that feud with Jeff Hardy, the Straight Edge Society stuff that came with it. In a lot of ways, he's synonymous with that belt. And so I think it would make a lot of sense in the world for them to put that belt on him. It's a very risky decision with his track record of injuries since he's been back in wrestling, but I'm starting to see the signs. I'm starting to see the dots connect.
I'm gonna pretend you didn't say that.
Listen, the idea of Kevin Owens versus Punk at some point next year.
I mean, it could work.
Amazing.
It could work. Yeah, that'd be a lot of violence.
That sounds amazing. And all the heels you're setting up for him, where they're heels that might have a point. Particularly about him. Seth Rollins having his gripes with him. Kevin Owens having his gripes with him. I think that there's some interesting stuff you can do with that going into next year.
God, I don't want to see him as champ, but yeah.
I could go either way. I think that there are good things you can do with this, but I'm just looking around. Bron Breakker, if you don't know, by the way, because I said all these people have history with him. Bron Breakker has ties to him, of course, because of the tie with Paul Heyman. So it does seem like there are things that they're setting up to align with Punk. And it could be that they're just setting up other guys as options for feud with him. But could go either way, because I do think he will challenge Gunther for the world.
And I think Gunther should just destroy him. But that's just me.
That would be funny. They just go, yep, this is the match, and then Gunther just squashes him at the pay-per-view.
Just squashes him, yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I just have a feeling. But could go either way, especially heading into WrestleMania. He's made the point that he does want to headline WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. That's the easy way to get him in that spot as well, by making him champion. So, I don't know.
Ego.
Hey, ego. We got the main event, Solo Sikoa taking on Jimmy Uso. And it's pretty much went exactly as you'd expect it. It was a solid match, but, you know, it was pretty much predictable what the outcome was. There was no way that Jimmy was going to come in and beat Solo, especially right now. Solo needed a big win to continue to cement himself and advance the stuff with Roman. And this pretty much did that.
Yeah, you know, it was a good way to bookend the show. As I mentioned before, it wasn't overwhelming. Like, we got just the right amount of what we wanted out of the, you know, OTC and the Bloodline. Here on this show, you're kind of building that anticipation to who's going to be showing up. We need him. We need help, Oos. That was the last line of the show. We need help, Oos. So they're building up to it. And listen, I mean, I like what you said in the beginning of the show. You know, Jay could easily say no. And then he gets so frustrated that his brother's getting his ass whooped so much on SmackDown that he just shows up. That would be the better route to go, because the pop of that song coming on and him just showing up to save his brother and, you know, and Roman. But I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bad blood there between all three of them. You know, one at least now between Jimmy and Roman kind of got that fixed, you know.
I think it was easier to mend fences with Jimmy because they were still on the same side before Roman went away. And then Solo, of course, jumped Jimmy out. There's still so much tension between Jay and Roman. There's still a lot that happened. I mean, Jay took a brunt of the abuse from Roman during their time as Bloodline. So it's going to be harder to bring him back into the fold. But I think the way to do it is going to be Jimmy. I think Jimmy is going to be the guy that appeals to Jay to get him to come back. And the thing that is going to, you know, inspire him to come back, it's like you said, that Jimmy's getting beat up every week, and that's going to eventually get to Jay, and Jay is going to try and help him. But this was a solid main event. It did what it was supposed to do. It wasn't like this blow-away match where I was blown away by the in-ring action. But, again, it served its purpose. It advanced the storyline. We got the beat down afterwards where Roman tries to come down, and Jacob and the gang come down and beat them down. And, like you said, we end the show with We Need Help, Uso. I think, again, that is a great way to continue to build the storyline for War Games. And I definitely think that's where we're going. Again, when we do get those three in the ring, man, fish hitting fish grease, bro. It's coming.
You know, it's going to be, you know, they do really well with these stories. Specifically this one, this is like a book right now. This has so many chapters and so many levels to it. That anytime you decide to open up this book, even after this is all done, you could always pick something up and just put it out there for the people to eat it up, man. Cause it's really good. I mean, this has been their bread and butter now. And, you know, I said this last year to Kate, is could this be the very last of what we see of the Bloodline coming up at Survivor Series? You know, War Games match, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of curious where they end up going with this, because you still have some story stuff with The Rock coming back. I'm sure that's going to factor in. I don't in any way think that The Rock will be taking part in a War Games match. I don't think if you want to use The Rock for WrestleMania season, you're going to risk putting him in a match like War Games where he could potentially get hurt, and you're putting a big money match on the line. I don't think he would do that. I'd
put him in there. If I was The Rock, if I really want to make an impact and be a team player, I'd be in that match, man. I'd have him come out dead last. Like, nobody knows if he's going to be there or not. And you know that stupid smug look that he has. I want him to come out in his Versace freaking sweatsuit that he wore last year.
that would be great, now that I think about it. If you play this up all the way into the pay-per-view that, okay, the new Bloodline needs a fifth member. They don't have a fifth member. And you get all the way to the pay-per-view of just those four in the cage waiting for their fifth member. And we all think it's going to be Hikaleo or somebody. And then by the end of the night, we get the Rock's music. He comes out kind of like they did the Orton return last year. And you have the Rock come in for like maybe the last 5 minutes of the match and then clear out the ring. I think that could work. Because
remember, War Games doesn't begin until all 10 people are in the ring.
Yes.
So you could have him kind of do that whole, like, he's standing there, reaches behind them, grabs the cage, doof, and closes it. You know? And that begins the match. And then all hell breaks loose.
That could work. But I currently think that we're probably going to get Hikaleo, is my guess. If it's not The Rock, I think Hikaleo will probably be the fifth member.
Or Rikishi.
Of the new. Yes, he's going to show up and be the proxy for The Rock. And that would be great.
Oh, God. That's great.
But yeah, then we're probably going to get the OG Bloodline, maybe Sammy and Cody.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds more realistic, to be honest, than The Rock. But yeah.
Listen, I'd be here for The Rock his age in a War Games match. I would pop huge for that, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
There are reports, Trey, that Hikaleo is going to go to NXT. I'm not sure if that's been confirmed, but I don't see a reason why you couldn't debut him in the War Games match and then he goes down to NXT after that. So I don't know. Could go either way. But right now they need a fifth member if they're going to do a War Games match. Wonder who is that going to be? We've got
some
speculation either way. Could be The Rock. Yeah. Could be Hikaleo. Could be an off ball. I don't know. Maybe they're going to bring Zilla in. I don't know. Could go either way. Yeah. To end our show, our last super chat we got from 2LT Cole Photo. He says, no yeet.
No yeet.
Man, listen, at some point, the three of those guys are going to be in the ring, and Jey Uso is going to be leading the crowd with those three in the ring. That's going to be insane. Appreciate you guys for pulling up to support as always. This has been Fightful's post show. Kate will be back next week, I assume. And, you know, Alex will be here. Calix. I guess that you got his name as a duo. Calix will be back next week.
We just got shipped by Phil.
Calix will be in effect next week. I will not be here. But, of course, you can find me on Saturdays at noon hosting Grapsody with Righteous Reg. We will be back at you previewing Wrestle Dream tomorrow and going over some of the happenings from this week.
Hell yeah, guys. Have a great night.
Have a great one. This has been fun. We're out of here.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.